Blog Talk Radio.
Give me some time to think. I'm in the bathroom looking at me. Facing the mirror is all I need. Waiting till the reaper takes my life. Never gonna get me out alive. I will live a thousand million lives.
My patience is waning.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fill My Eyes with Poetry. I hope everyone's having a great week. Even though as I am, I'm enjoying every one of these shows. Hey, Rex. Hey, Pam. How are you both?
What's up?
Doing great.
Not too much. Not too much. But there's magic in my bones. We got lots of bones out there in that contest. Yep.
Very cool. Okay.
Yeah, I laughed. I said, maybe Pam will like this one. You know.
Was that
because I think I remember you saying
affirmation. Oh, that's all right.
I didn't quite hear what you said. No. It's imagination
something
dragon.
Something about, was that a firm affirmation to the bone?
Maybe. I was looking for the darn intro, and I'm going, well, what can I find? And I found this, and I said, oh, yeah, I might win. This might be a double win here. It's magic in my bones is one of the lines. I said, okay, good. We're doing skeletons. And then I said, and Pam, I think I remember she said she liked Imagination Dragons. I said, I can't go wrong. I could be
there
wrong.
There you go. They are a great group, that's for sure. One of those groups that my kids introduced me to. Yeah.
There you go.
And how are you both doing today?
All right.
Awesome sauce.
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good. So,
sixth annual Halloween. Wow.
That's right. Our sixth one. Our sixth year doing this. And I'm loving every second of it. Everybody has been putting out really great shows this weekend. You know, you guys have been wonderful with it. You even put up with me, which is pretty cool. I like it. But we have... tonight's board, we started at collecting open poetry, like we do on Fridays. And then we have a few carryovers, not a whole lot from, one of the other shows. And then we have that skeleton contest that I put in to buffer out the numbers on the board. So So we're going to have a little bit of everything. And then we'll carry them on over to the next night. And, yeah, we'll get them all done before Halloween's over, I think. Technically, anyway. Kind of before Halloween's over. You know what I mean. It'll be still Halloween somewhere when we finish. How's that? Anyway, it'll be good. It'll be good. So, anywho's how. Is everyone having a good week? You guys having a good week?
Yeah.
Definitely, yes. Yep.
I was saying to Rex, he had a great show on Monday. Excellent. Just hearsing around. I liked it. And Pam, you showed the other night.
Oh, I loved the dark humor and the laughing,
yeah,
and how much people just let loose and had fun with those prompts and the song lyrics or the poem lyrics. Very cool.
Yeah, I mean they really did. They really, you know, aced it well. Some of it I was like, oh, you know, yuck. But it was good. It was still good poetry, no matter what, you know. And I mean, when you put a prompt up like that, I mean, you have to kind of expect it to come back at you, you know, a little bit. And when I listen to those lyrics, I'm like, yeah, well, you know. But you know, everybody gets a chance to participate. You know, not everybody's into it, but it's all right. It's the way it happens, right? The way I feel. So anyway, I don't know. It's been a good week. Excuse me. It's not the company. It's definitely the hour. And just so everybody knows, we have Allison on the line with us. So hello, Allison. How are you tonight?
I am great. I am rocking and ready to roll in my grave.
Oh, well, okay. Don't do that any please hold off a little while on that one. Yes not
roll them bones.
No. That's right, you'll see when you go in and start hitting the thing, you know, everybody's still got work to do. They're all doing crazy stuff out there. Some are riding flamingos.
Uh-huh.
Some are pole dancing. You know, you never know what you have to do. The other side. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to, I guess, get this party started. And anyway, I got to look in the room for a second. Pee-wee, are you out there? Hi, Frank. Hello, Frank. Pee-wee, are you calling in? If you are, say something. Okay. I do not see him. I swear he was just here. Yeah, he was here just a few minutes ago, right, Pam? Maybe 5-10 minutes ago.
Yes, 20. He was. But, you know, 20? Who knows? Maybe.
Good for you. Okay, let me see what I got here. I'll tell you what. I'm going to grab this piece because I don't know if he's calling in or not, because he was the first male piece on the board. I was going to grab him for you to read, Rex. But we'll just go here. Okay, this piece here is by Bill Stiller. And if you would be so kind, it is The Biggest Easiest by Bill Stiller.
The Biggest Easiest by Bill Stiller. It may be called Bourbon Street, but Pat O'Brien serves hurricanes. The liquor tastes fine as Commander's Palace cream brulee souffle. At Brennan's, it's alfresco chicory coffee with fresh beignets. In New Orleans, you can carelessly feast or drink all day. No atmosphere could ever be more festive nor gay. In French Quarter, can find everything in fine art or jazz to play. The shops, like restaurants, have menus that enthrall. Ms. Marie Laveau's has crystal balls and voodoo dolls. Black magic looms, less fearful than drunken brawls of Mardi Gras. During a stroll from French Market to Jackson Square, I've never had a better time anywhere beyond there. At every corner, the Zydeco blends with jazz and beat of a snare. I walk around a corner where marching band blared. It was a funerary procession with twirling parasols and designer fans. They call the march a second line, yet somehow I was first in line. Trombones triumphed as our parade marched slowly on and on. I danced beside this guy keeping time with a sparkling baton. The party lasted long past the day's cessation. for in New Orleans, even funerals become cause for celebration and fun. All right, Allison, why don't we start with you, please?
I thought that was a delightful journey through New Orleans. And I liked how it talked about making a party out of a funeral. And the use of rhyme in here was done very well. I really enjoyed this poem. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this was a wonderful tribute to New Orleans, to the music, the food, and the people. I really like where he brings in Miss Marie Laveau, has crystal balls and blue dolls, black magic rooms less fearful than drunken balls of Mardi Gras. I also like, you know, that he brings in the food and like the chicory coffee and the music with trombones triumphed as our parade marched slowly on and on. I danced beside the sky, keeping time with a sparkling baton. Wonderful imagery and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a nicely done piece. It was a little more than a snapshot. To me, it was like a short film playing in my head as we're reading through it. You know, because you could kind of follow this procession in some ways. I thought it was a great tale told, and I enjoyed the imagery in the piece. But I also liked his attention to details throughout. You know, it was like, you know, you had the chicory coffee, and you had all these little tiny tidbits that just made the whole thing come together, and was really really well done. So thank you, Bill, for sharing with us. Everybody knows this is a carryover from Richard's show last night. For Haunted New Orleans. I can't say New Orleans right, but, you know.
New Orleans. New Orleans. You got to do
yeah,
it right.
There you go. Got it. Exactly.
Yeah,
so great
this
job,
is a full-flavored note. I like what Bill did with this, the two things. The biggest, easiest, hitting on the fact that New Orleans is called the Big Easy. But he also, what was the, and he, the flavor that he rolled through this from beginning to end as a full day's kind of celebration from the hurricane to Commander's Palace, the creme brulee, the souffle, the coffee, the jazz, the thoughts of Marie Laveau's, the crystal balls and voodoo dolls, the drunken brawls that fill in, plus that note to how a proper funeral is celebrated walking through New Orleans. It hits on that note all the way through of their motto, let the bon temps rouler, let the good times roll. Nicely done, Bill.
Well,
all right.
Your mouth.
Oh, all right.
Okay, let me see it. Oh, just playing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm on mute. No, I'm not. I thought I was on mute. Damn. Caught myself on that. Here we go. I don't know if I am or I'm not anymore. I know I was at one point. Okay.
Yes, thought you were ghosting yourself, and you were lying.
I don't know. Yeah, ghost in the machine, that's me here. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put up this next piece by A.R. Mundell, and I'm going to give this one a read. So, here we go. It's called Purpose by A.R. Mundell. Wash on, wash off. And so he scrubbed until he died. Bony fingers clutching rag he'd clung to all his life. Skeletal form immortalized in the act of obeying blind. The glass as dusty as before, his task fallen to time. As empty as the purpose those bones could never find. End poem. Yeah. Great job.
Great read there, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, why don't you kick us off?
I like this. As always, she's got wonderful metered rhyme. I had to smile at the wash on, wash off, because, of course, it made me think of the Karate Kid with wax on, wax off. You know, but that part had, had some humor to it. But there was also an underlying serious message about, as it says, just, you know, that blind obedience, you know, just doing everything that everybody else wants us to do and never doing what makes, taking time to do what makes us happy. And I really like a skeletal form immortalized in the act of obeying blind, the glass as dusty as before, his task fall into time. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Allison, how about you?
I really enjoyed this. The it was sort of the whole thing that is embodied here of holding on to the social crutches, especially as I get older anyways, as if they're going to give some purpose to your life. And the way it ended, as empty as the purpose those bones could never find. And, you know, I think this encompasses what we all don't want to be where we're at when we get old and die. And yet it talks about where so often many of us are. So I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Allison. And Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
I did. I had actually spoken to Amy the day that she put the piece up, I believe, or when she gave me permission. And as soon as I read it, I knew exactly what image she had written to. There's an image of a skeleton washing windows. And it was like the work's just never done, really. And we chatted for a minute. And, you know, it's such the way she had spoken. I believe it was her grandmother. And how she constantly, you know, was always trying to wait on everybody, was always trying to do things, was, you know. And I said, well, that's old school. You know, the old school, boy, they just kept going and going and going and going. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I could kind of relate to what, you know, she was saying, because, you know, does it surprise us sometimes that, you know, we have a skeleton watching windows? No, not really, because some of us have actually known people in our lives that are that way. You know, they just don't know when to stop. So I give her a lot of credit. I thought she did a nice job with it. So excellent job, Amy, and thanks for sharing with us. Well done.
Nice. Okay. I kind of walk the same way as you, but I'm going to go a little bit a different twist. This kind of hits on that notion of, especially the skeletal form immortalized in the act of being blind. Yes, the window washer, some large place that he was the permanent employee to take care of the windows inside now, and that job is never done because it's all dusty all the time with fingerprints. And you hit on that note, the dusty as before, his task formed at times. So it gives that motif of a building that has fallen out of use. Yes, he was the last one, the first one in and the last one out, fully immortalized in that moment of when he did die, as a permanent reminder to there are some things that are never finished. And he said that little ghostly remainder that lurks behind, still doing his job, even though there's 2 inches of dust now sitting on the windows, but you've got that peak of the guy to begin with. I like that.
Yep. Clever. Nice comment. Well, nice comment, everybody. Now, Allison, I'm going to put your piece up so you can read it for us. And thank you so much. Here we go.
Okay. I was reborn. Life seemed bright and full of light as all my days turned out just right. Came Halloween, I looked to see what costume would best reveal me. I'd been Egyptian in years past, but I'd not jump on that too fast. That costume seemed too old and stale. It didn't tell my true heart's tale. I searched online for what reflects the fine one that my heart projects. The honeybee, the pirate patch, which one will I find to match? And then I spied it on the screen, the perfect reveal for Halloween. A candy corn in colors bright, in oranges and contrast whites. I felt sexy like the corn, as if I was newly reborn. I felt I was 18 again, as sexy as I'd ever been. My friends approved with roaring calls, high-fiving that I had the balls. Amongst the laughter, I'm reborn, a 50-year-old candy corn.
Great read, Allison. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, you got first on this one.
Allison, I got a chuckle when I read it the first time. I, 50-year-old candy corn. Yeah, something about that sounds very possible. Candy corn hangs around here really good. But I thought you did a great job with this. I really did. I like the line strip, but I felt sexy like the corn, as if I was newly reborn. I felt I was 18 again, as sexy as I'd ever been. My friends approved with roaming calls, high-fiving that I had the balls. Amongst the laughter, I'm reborn, a 50-year-old candy corn. I love it. I said that, I liked each one of the stanzas, but I have to say I got a kick out of that. You pulled it together and gave us that ending. Well done. Well done. And thanks for sharing.
Thank you. I have to interject. This is a true story about me. Sorry.
Oh. All right, Pam, step on up.
All right. I really enjoyed this one. It makes you smile and laugh. I really enjoy how in the beginning you have the line, come Halloween, I look to see what costume would best reveal me. And that's the fun of Halloween, is getting to bring out a side of yourself that you don't usually. It really enjoyed, I felt sexy like the corn, as if I was newly reborn. I felt I was 18 again, as sexy as I ever been. It's just great fun to, dress up and, have fun with costumes and bring out that pizzazz in your personality. So excellent fun write and very well done.
Nice, Pam, thank you. All right, Allison, I'm going to start with the top one, because that first stanza is a reflection of childhood, when Halloween was that fun bit of finding the right costume to dress up as. And then you kind of hit on something later on in life with I've been Egyptian years past. And then that third one offers up that notion of having so much more to actually imbibe in, because as a kid back in the day, what you had to choose from was always what the local stores popped up. Now you go online, you can find yourself just about anything to reflect how you feel. And then you hit on that note again at the end of that stanza with the honeybee, the pirate patch, which one will I find a match, offers up again that childlike glee in finding something that appeals. And then that note to finding the candy corn also hits on going back in time a bit. And so does that last stanza, which comes right back to the first as a reflection, because even at 50, you can still have that childlike glee and enjoy the moment and feel young and youthful again, because you've roused all of everyone's humor and laughter in the fact that, yes, I dared wear this. I might not be 18 anymore. I can feel it, that note of being plump, juicy, and ready for the game. But, hey, I'm 50. I'm still living the life and I'm enjoying myself. So if it makes you laugh, I'm good with that too.
Yep. Funny. It's coming,
guys.
I remember when I worked at the nursing home, every Halloween we would all get dressed up. And this one year, I'm not the slimmest of girls, and I got this pumpkin costume. I had on green tights and this pumpkin, and I went into work. They're all looking at you, hey, I'm ready, I'm a pumpkin. Oh, my God, we had more laughs that year, more laughs. I get it, I was not young, but we had a lot of laughs.
Yeah, but that
they were all cracking up.
That could have also gotten dangerous and said, hey, can I carve you?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I pulled off every year. I always went in dressed up for Halloween. One year I went in dressed in a bathrobe and slippers and pajamas, my hair in rollers, and I took some Calmex because it was really, really white and put it on as face cream. Oh, my God, I'm sitting at my desk working all day, and people are coming into the office. they were dying. They were like, oh, my God, you really? I said, yeah, really. You know, of course, I always talk to a couple other girls into the same kind of stuff, you know. A lot of laughs.
That sounds like a Lucille Ball moment.
Well, well, that's my life. A Lucille Ball moment for real. But we did laugh, you know. I refused not to. So, we pulled some real good ones over there. Frank, I wish I did, Frank. I wish I did. Oh, God, yeah. Okay, guys. Now, for the next poem I'm going to put up, I'm going to put this one up by Pam Ray. So, Pam, if you would read this for me. And I'm so glad you used that image. I really am.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. This is a much-needed coffee break. Oh, how I love Halloween, the best time of the year, to pass around some candy and a spooky feast of fear. I love the kooky creepiness of costumes on display, the masked merrymakers all coming out to play. Oh, how much fun it is to scare, watch them screech and run. I often wish that Halloween was never, ever done. I like to shake and rattle my immortal moldy bones, laugh as they try to call for help on their new complex smartphones. I hide behind the bushes and hide behind the trees, moans and groans and snickering that carries on the breeze. I love to chase them in dark alleys with a jaunty rictus grin, let them think they have escaped, and then start the chase again. I love to watch them run into the woods wearing uncomfortable high heels. I watch them trip on tree roots, listen to their squeamish squeals. The best part of being a skeleton is I always can go streaking, because there ain't no folds or bumps to get them shocked and peeping. Scaring people is the best, more fun than an Irish wake. But these old bones just need to sit and take a much-needed coffee break. End the poem.
Great, thank you very much. And Allison, why don't we start with you, Queen?
You know, Allison just dropped, Rex. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Then it's your turn. Aha.
Sam, I love this. I really do. I love this. You know, the stanzas, they just were better and better and better. Everyone was, I think because it was just drawing my mood, you know, and I really thought it was great. But I hide behind the bushes and hide behind the trees, moans and groans and snickering that carries on the breeze. I love to chase them in dark alleys with a jaunty, rictus grin, let them think they have escaped, and then start the chase again. I said that was just, it was just a wonderful tale told. Excellent rhyme, great build-up of the story, and then, you know, your final stanza there, scaring people is the best, more fun than an Irish wake, but these old bones just need to sit and take a much-needed coffee break. I love it, and I like I said, I'm just tickled you used the image to write to, and I think you aced it. As always, wonderful, wonderful job. So, very
thank
enjoyable.
You.
And,
thank
yeah.
you, and thank you for the inspiration.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah.
This reminds me of a guy on YouTube. I think I've seen most of them come out of England. He dressed himself up as a potted plant, and he stands outside of the stores, and people walk by, and he scares the crap out of them. But they also dressed up in Halloween costumes as a prop and comes to life to scare the people. It's funny as hell. This reminds me very much of that same thing, of just being there lurking, because you hit on that note of hiding behind the bushes. So that hit on that notion. And the thought, because most of the people, they're always on their smartphones now, and they're not paying any real attention. And this guy just casually, as they get up, he'll rub their arm or something, or just come out and scare them. And then he falls back into himself and stands still again. It's really funny.
I'll have to check that out. Well, thank you for the comment, Rex.
You're welcome. All right, Jean, where do you want to go now?
I don't know. Okay, first I have to finish one more word, and then I can put that little smiley face so I don't forget to send Pam a message. And I loved that poem. I did. That one made me smile big time. Okay, now that's going to bring me to you, Rex. So I'm going to give you Pee-wee's poem because I have no idea if he's calling, and I don't know where he went.
Actually, he's on.
And sometimes
he's in the room.
Is he? Pee-wee, are you calling in, man? He says, I love Lucy. Oh, God. Let's see. If he's calling, I'm not going to give it to you to read, and I will wait.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'll take something else.
I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, so I'm going
to
go to that
take
one.
It in
okay.
Tell me, Quando, Quando, Quando.
There you go.
Ah, Pee-wee's going to come. Uh-huh.
Okay. Awesome. Then the next piece I'm going to put up is by Arcana Amore. And I understand I have an audio for this, so let me get that one started. And here we go.
Raven hair cascades in rivers of darkness. Pallid complexions glow with unearthly auras. Dark coal eyes stare with alluring enchantment that pierces the soul of a zealot's fear. Their entire attire cloaked in shades of night that drip from their curves like molten wax. An enchanting appearance of ethereal beauty that dances naked beneath the moon's pale glow. In rapturous fervor, they writhe like serpents around leaping flames that kiss eventide skies. Their energy flows with a sexual abandon that echoes the shadows of sleeping woods. This carefree creature of magical seduction makes lotions and potions or talismans to wear, weaving their sorcery with ritualistic attention upon shimmering altars of candlelit intent. Their grimoires speak of invoking incantations, conversing with entities that dwell far beyond. They utter arcane keys to unlock unseen doors, spoken with care from the pentagram's protection. Hecate stands at crossroads waiting to be summoned. Crone goddess speaks whispers upon ears that hear. Their craft fades within the circle of life that lights their path with the Wiccan reed. Mystics, soothsayers, healers and wise women, accused by many as devoted brides of the devil, live alone in the peeling periphery of realms, waiting to cast spells to ensnare your mind.
Wonderful read, Arcana. Thank you very much for the sound pack. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
I really appreciated and enjoyed this one. It was a great read. As always, he's got brilliant dark language, a wonderful command of the English language and imagery. I really like this carefree creature of magical seduction makes lotions and potions or talismans to wear, weaving their sorcery with real ritualistic attention upon chiminant altars of candlelight intent. And I really like that I swear there was something in here. The end stanza where, you know, it leads all the way through the different types of magic and the goddesses and the imagery of their craft bathed within circle of life that lights their path with the Wiccan reed, and then on to accused by many as devoted brides of the devil. So I like how there's this idea in the end stanza wrapping up that throughout history, especially women, who have practiced forms of magic or in different forms of enlightenment have often been misunderstood. So I thought it was a really great way to wrap it up. I thought it had this really nice, intense mysticism feel to it and was very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. Thank you. Benji, how about you?
Well, you know, I really enjoyed this piece by Arcana. I thought each stanza was equally good, okay? But I liked his lead in there. I thought that was great. Raven hair, kiss gauge, and rivers of darkness. Pallid complexions glow with unearthly auras. Dark coal eyes stare with alluring enchantment that pierces the soul of the zealot's fear. I thought that was a wonderful way to introduce the piece completely. Because he's already, you know, got you... He's got you hooked, you know. And I love the imagery, throughout the whole piece. But there was something about their entire attire cloaked in shades of night that drips from their curves like molten wax, an enchanting appearance of ethereal beauty that dances naked beneath the moon's pale glow. I love that. I thought that was that drips from their curves like molten wax. I just thought that was such a neat visual. You know, and really well done. So, Arcana, thank you as always for sharing your work with us. I really liked it. It was a wonderful addition to the show. Loved it.
Absolutely. I like that stand you just hit on. And the next one down, which also rolls right off that, an enchanting appearance of ethereal beauty that dances naked beneath the moon's pale glow. In rapturous fervor, they writhe like serpents around leaping flames that kiss eventide skies. Their energy flows with a sexual abandon that echoes the shadows of sleeping woods. Nice touch to going out into nature itself, the black night, and you've got a nice little bonfire going around where you're doing this magical little repertoire that offers up that notes to white people, as well as, you know what, that's a little untoward. Good people don't do that sort of thing, so you must be evil. And that added a little touch to the notion of witchery, but it also hits on grimoires. Nice touch to the books that they had all their spells and incantations within. And he even managed to drop himself in here, just a touch, hitting at
the arcane.
Arcane, yes. A nice touch for that. But I also like the bongos as a background note with the music was a good thought as to invoking that that evening's bit of frolicky fun.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Arcane. Thank you.
Yeah, I like that one. Definitely. Well, I don't know where the hell I'm going next, but it's okay. We're good. Actually, the next one in line is Frank's piece, so I'm going to go ahead and put that up while we're waiting for Pee Wee to call in, because, you know, sounds like a good idea. Okay, let me do this. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is called Bloody Mary by Poetic Picasso. So let me hit the button. It's here somewhere, that button. It is. Here it is.
Oh. upon this Victorian mansion is a sow who haunts the holy corridors of fear, and a giggling sound murmurs at once behind the dreary wooden doors near. Howling echoes, dripping blood seen, pouring abundantly from within the walls, where a wrinkling hand of death appears, and a disfigured body afterwards crawls. A flickering light of a wax candle burns by the window sill throughout the night, as the chandelier sway back and forth with the old glow of the shimmering light. A very eerie silence begins to engulf the hoary darkness of the lawn gallery, with footsteps walking down the stairs, and the wails are heard by the balcony. And the children sing her infamous name in the creepy words of a nursery lullaby, Bloody Mary. Do not look into the mirror, for you might just see
great read, Frank. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Gene, this one starts with you.
You know, I think Frank did a great job with the tale. I mean, we've all, you know, heard stories about Bloody Mary and, you know, all these crazy, you know, make you nervous kind of things. And really, yeah, but I thought it was a wonderful dark tale, and I thought he penned this really well and did such an excellent audio. I thought it really was haunting. But Frank can make that happen, you know. Well done. And, yeah, Frank, I think that it was well worded and great stanzas throughout. You know, a flickering light of a wax candle burns by the window sill throughout the night as the chandeliers sway back and forth with the odd glow of the shimmering light. Great, great rhyme, great detail in the work, wonderful imagery, because you paint this picture around us all, you know, where we're standing there in this place that you've penned, and I think that's a wonderful mm-hmm. gift that you can do that. So nice work, Frank, and thanks a million for sharing with us as always.
Thank you, Gene. And Pam, mm-hmm. how about you?
Yeah, I really like the way he takes a familiar tale and brings it to life with the imagery that's so haunting and creepy and visceral. And the reading, the performance was just wonderful, dark and haunting. I really liked the imagery and howling echoes, dripping blood seen pouring abundantly from within the walls, where a wrinkling hand of death appears and a disfigured body afterwards crawls. I also like where he brings in her voice with the couplet, "Where is my beloved child? For she is not to be beguiled." It brings in the idea of this angry, protective spirit watching over her child, and I thought that was really cool. So excellent dark rite and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. Well, the other night, we had a lot of rites that hit on the, well, that reminded me of Twilight Zone episodes. This one doesn't. This walks on a little bit different. This one reminds me of The Night Gallery, those first four stanzas with that note to "Where's my beloved child?" And that thought on the back end kind of hits me up with the notion of Rod finishing out the evening in the night gallery. It's, this is what the picture has revealed to you. And uses a, Frank used a word in here that I haven't seen in quite a while, horrid. Nicely done with that. I like it. Thank you, Frank.
Excellent, I say. Okay, Pam, I'm going to put the next piece up for you to read for us. And this is, I skipped Rex. That's okay, I'll get back with him. This one is by Siegel. It's called All Hallows Eve by Siegel. So whenever
Okie dokie. All Hallows Eve by Siegel, French Quarter, 1830. A festive crowd was gathered round the gallows in the square. The full moon hid behind a cloud, ashamed of what would happen there. Upon befouled and splintered planks to anguished lovers seen, a pirate wearing lace cravat, and she a Creole voodoo queen. Her eyes were dark, his skin was fair, his years they numbered 23, and hers a mere 19. Young lovers facing death's decree. My potions harm not one, she cried. Dambala, hear my last request. Then pleaded that their life be spared, along with the babes beneath her breast. Before the hangman placed the hoods, the moon broke through the cloud. With flashing eyes, she cursed the town, and to return with vengeance vowed. Whenever glows All Hallows Eve and fullness of the moon, I'll come then neath a bloody swollen orb. The shameful deed was done. Thus every 19 years or so, a mist arises from the bayou, pale shroud that seeps down Bourbon Street to reap a deadly price anew. The last was in 2001. Beware next Halloween. A pirate wearing lace cravat, and on his arms, a voodoo queen, and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what do you think?
Wow. I thought this was another great piece that was for Richard's show the other night. Just wonderfully pulled together here. Let's see. Her eyes were dark, his skin was fair, his years, they numbered 23. And hers, a mere 19, young lovers facing death's decree. My potion harm not one, she said. Dambala, hear my last request. Then pleaded that their lives be spared, along with the babes beneath her breast. I don't think she's missed much of anything in this piece. It was well written. It was well rhymed. I think that she really painted a wonderful picture of the tale she's telling throughout. And I don't think she missed any details. I think it's just wonderful. So, Siegel, I want to thank you for sharing with us, both for Richard's show. Sadly, we got to carry it over. But I'm happy to have it on ours. So I think it was just wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I remember this write, and it's one of those that's worth bringing out again. I was just looking at her AN because this has been based on a true story, and that it's supposed to happen approximately every 19 years. This poem was written 3 years ago, and the next time it was due was in 2020. So I thought that was kind of cool and interesting. But yeah, this had wonderful rhyme and flow, great use of imagery. Again, I had told her originally that I was very impressed that she did her research, because originally I didn't know if it was a story she made up or if she got it from a true, not necessarily true, but, a myth, already existing myth. And when she said she hadn't, she did her research, I told her I was really impressed that she did her research in order to have the attention detail in this write that she has. Again, I like when somebody brings the voice of the character they're writing about in. You know, my potions harm not one, she cried. Dambala, hear my last request, then pleaded that the life she spared, along with the babes beneath her breast. You know, I thought that was a really just wonderfully intense and dark moment in the rite, and this is very well done.
Well said, lady. Thank you very much. This is a grand tale from start to finish, and it fits the motif. The festive crowd, everybody went out for hangings in those days. Hey, we made a picnic out of it, so to speak. The idea of doing it with a full moon as part of the rendition kind of hits on a note of, yeah, we got to make it as creepy as possible since she's a voodoo queen and he's a pirate. So let's have at it and do it right. And then the sort of the curse, especially considering she was pregnant as well. So that does offer up a nice bit of flavor as to why that town would be cursed from then on in. And it does, it kind of walks on that note of a blue moon too, that rarity of moons that comes once every few years. But it's been, I think, since 2011 was the last full moon for a Halloween. So it does not come around very often. Thank you, Seagull. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, now, don't you be laughing like that. It makes me nervous, and I get scared. And then I won't be able to work. Look now, don't make me pull out the big guns here. Pee-wee's joined us. Hello, Pee-wee. Welcome to the party.
Hello.
Pee-wee.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
What up?
Good to have
you. I do.
Wow. I think they see you, Pee-wee.
I think so.
Crazy. Yeah, see? Rex is conjuring that stuff up. Being devilish. It's all his fault. So where that happens. But I'll tell you what, I've been waiting for you because I have your piece right here. Right
well, good
here.
Deal.
So here we go, whenever you're ready.
There it is. I see it. All right. Well, if I can click on it. All right, are we ready for this now?
Sure.
I'm as I'm ever going to be.
All right, it's a good one. So, Gacko Death, Pee-wee Q-Sign. Pumpkins are nice with pumpkin spice. Now it's pumpkin time to die. Watch and weather these birds of a feather that go passing by. In this field of beans, you can feel the agony of the screams that you hear. You had made it through, but you're not going to again this year. There's a pumpkin man has a pumpkin plan to end your life. And as you'll see, misery will be the very highlight of that night. On Halloween, with your king and queen who are taking it all in stride, you're going to be the one and only sacrifice to the harvest tide. A harvest tide held under harvest skies that run crimson with your blood. Harvest moon will be leaving, and soon you'll be headless in the mud. Jacko Death holds his jacko breath as he looks you in the eye. He sealed your fate, though he saw too late in this rusty autumn sky. Blood runs free, and you cannot see, as now you see only dead. Jacko Death takes another breath, but now he's wearing your head. End poem.
Great read, Pee-wee. Thank you very much. All right, Gene.
Thank you.
Let's cook it with you.
Well, oh, my goodness. I, it's kind of the opposite of, just what's that story, Pam? You know what I'm talking about. The Headless Horseman. You know, that's a guy walks around with a pumpkin head, and this one's, you know, this Jack of Death is walking around with the other guy's head. But a great job here, Pee-wee. I like the rhyme, and I like the tale you told. It was kind of creepy, I got to say, and just a nice addition. Absolutely. I'm trying to look and see here. A harvest tide held under harvest skies that run crimson winter blood. Harvest moon will be leaving soon. You'll be headless in the mud. you know, just, I don't know, I just think you did a good job. I mean, you have great details throughout and imagery, and just a new and interesting tale. It was a good twist on an old story. So nice job.
Thank you.
Nice, Jean. Thank you. And Dan, what about
you? Yeah, that's a great rhyme, wonderful imagery. I, too, thought of the idea of a classic horror Halloween story like the Headless Horseman. You know, I really like that you open up with the idea of pumpkin spice, but then immediately with the first line and immediately in the second line, you really get into the darkness. Now it's pumpkin time to die. I really like there's a pumpkin man that has a pumpkin plan to end your life. And as you'll see, misery will be the very highlight of that night. There's something about this that has a very sing-song lyrical quality to it. You know, it's just really an excellent tale and very well done.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pam. All right. I did get that note to the thought of the Headless Horseman, but I also, there was a movie way back in the day called Pumpkinhead. At where I, because you take the down the bottom here, you take the heads of your victims, and Pumpkinhead kind of carried around a machete to take the heads off of his victims, and it all boiled down to he went after those who did him wrong, and if somebody went to help those that he was after, they also were marked for death too. So this kind of walks in that vein of tone where this Jack of Death, this Pumpkinhead, is wreaking a vengeance for some wrong that's been done to him, and anybody in his way gets to pay the ultimate price. I like it.
Yes. If you would like to know, there's Jack of Light, the prequel I wrote to it as well. So I give
you
the backstory.
Cool.
Very cool. Did you put the link in the bottom of this one?
I did not, but
you
I will.
You should put the link to that one in the bottom of this, and the link to this one in the bottom of that one. That way whoever reads it can get, you know, go right over to the other piece. See?
Yes, I will do.
Good thinking, Lincoln. I think that would work for you. Okay. Well, excellent, excellent.
The worms crawl in. The worms crawl out. In your eyes and not just now.
Oh, my God. See, you're not going to be happy, Tom. I'm just going to be singing it all night long. Okay. I'm going to put up the next piece by Robert M. And this one was from Richard's show as well. And it's called Pins, Needles. And this is part one and part two. He combined them together and made an audio for us. So let me look at it. There we go.
This is my recital of Pins and Needles, parts one and two. The day begins and misery grins. This doll is weary from all of the pins. To my dismay, I'm on display. Shame heightens the pain that I portray. These pins dig deep, unwilling, I weep. One needle for every secret I keep. Push them deeper, the toll now steeper, delivering me to the hands of the reaper. But that won't do, it's no good for you, so you stitch my wounds and patch them too. I am allowed to heal, the wounds congeal, but this only adds to the appeal. It's part of the game, an exhibit of shame. This mangled frame will never be the same. A symbol of pain kept to entertain. The shell of disdain is all that'll remain. So poke and prod, spiritually maraud. You like to play God, but it is all a facade. You chose me to bear misery, reflecting your own inadequacy. You cannot stand lack of command as the sands of time slip through your hand. So go ahead, Punish me instead. Take note of every drop that is bled. Your mind is tainted. Images you painted show that you and insanity have reacquainted. Sooner or later, my manipulator, you will see that you are no greater. Your darker side that you try to hide, well, it seems our motives coincide. Your deconstruction is in production, and it all starts with internal destruction. Betrayal beneath skin, mutiny from within, your true suffering can now begin. Thoroughly enervate, violently mutilate, for I am a symbol of all that you hate. Just keep in mind, your sanity has resigned. What you call reality is ill-defined. Like this blood-soaked doll that you pinned to the wall, never even existed at all.
Great read, Robert. Thank you very much for the sound clap. It is very much appreciated. And Pee-wee, why don't we start with you, please?
I loved it. I mean, the rhyme scheme was awesome, and it just has that nice, menacing growl of Robert's sinister quality to it. I mean, it's a, what more can you ask for in a Halloween poem, you know?
Absolutely. And thank you, Pee-wee. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, as always, just a top shelf quality rhyming poem with the emotional and psychological darkness. I really like the imagery of the poking and prodding. So poke and prod, spiritually maraud. You like to play God, but it's all a facade. You chose me to bear misery, reflecting your own inadequacy. I also really like, sooner or later, my manipulation, you will see that you are no greater, your darker side that you try to hide. Well, it seems our motives coincide. It kind of has a whole Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, yeah, that's right, feel to it, like this idea of somebody battling with their darker side and the torment that comes with it. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And Gene, how about you?
Oh, well, Robert wrote it, right? Don't have to say more. I always love his darkness. And I think I love his darkness because it usually runs hand in hand with a rhyme. And I, something about that, it kind of balances out the piece to me. You know, it was dark. It was it's got an element of pain running through it. You know, being wronged and I don't know. But I love how he took part one and part two. A lot of times, Robert will always give you that thing. Part two coming soon, maybe. So you never know if you're going to get a part two. And in this one, he actually has a part two, and then he sewed them together and read them for us in the audio. And I think that that was a wonderful thing to actually get that second half of it. Very enjoyable. Enjoyable. That's a strange word to use on a dark piece like this, but it was just very well done. Yeah, I hate saying that. Sometimes you read something so dark or it's like off and you go, oh, yeah, I really loved it. And it's like, I mean, is that really the right wording for it? But, you know, it's like the best thing you can come up with. But, yeah, it was just really wonderful all the way through. And I like how he did the three-line stanzas. I think that was great. And, it was just wonderful. So thank you, Robert, for sharing that with us. Yeah, I went and had him hunt something up for us, so it was a good choice. Wonderful.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Normally, I say a lot of Rob's work walks along the lines of Poe, but this is different. This walks along the lines of Stephen King. It reminds me of the dark half, where the writer has a his career is embalmed with the fact that his books don't do too well. So he dreams up a pen name and he starts writing darker books. And in that he gets acclaim and fame, but some of the town finds out who he is. So he holds a mock funeral and declares the one dead. But meanwhile, the one he declared dead, he comes up with a schizophrenic break, and the one, the dark half, emerges. So that's what this reminds me of, how it flows into that angle of it's all a facade. You chose me to bear misery, reflecting your own inadequacy. That very same flavor of the unsuccessful writer who creates the alter ego to mirror that which makes him famous, and in the end, it breaks him. I like it. Nicely done, Robert. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And so does Frank. Frank agrees too.
All right, Jean, where do we go now? Where do we go?
You know, you got me thinking it's Sunday now. Cut it out. Okay.
That's because I'm dead to the bone.
Dead to the bone? Just like the skeletons.
Bone. To the bone. Yes. Let it roll.
We have some
bones.
Hey, yeah. let's see that. We got a little touch of it. And we have Miss Stelina with us. So hello, Stelina, and welcome to the party.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Stelina.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, because I'm having a little trouble. I'm a little bit sick, so... everybody... Yeah, no, it's just a little bit of asthma, that's all, but, you know, haven't got much of a voice tonight. Anyway, thought I'd try for a little while. So, there you go.
We always appreciate you calling, so, you know, we won't tax you too much.
It's
time to hear me. Yeah. Yeah, well,
it's fine. It's fine. I'll tell you if it's too much. Don't worry.
Okay, that's a deal.
I think I talked too much the other night, and that's probably why.
Okay, you know, and then we need to talk too much, right? I think so. Well, Pam knows I talk all the time. Everybody knows I talk all the time. I call them on the phone, and we're good for hours. So. Terrible, but it's true. That's me. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is by the Freckled Poet, and it's called The Quotes. And I'm going to read this one. And now I have to... okay, here we go. The Quote by Freckled Poet. The night is damp, dark, and long. Even shadows hide till dawn. Footsteps follow me to sacred ground. I turned to find no one around. Yet far away an echoed scream. Oh, feet move faster or wake this dream. Stones draw away from my front door. Then quote the raven, nevermore, nevermore. And foam.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Stelina, we'll start with you, I guess. Please.
Okay, yeah, well, this is a great piece of poetry, isn't it? You know, with the raven and damp, dark and long, even shadows hide till dawn. I mean, it's a great brevity. And, you know, they always amaze me when they write these brevities because they seem to...
Thank you, Stelina. Happy you? How about you?
Who did you ask, Rex? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Pee-wee. Yeah. No, Pee-wee.
Oh, Pee-wee dropped.
Oh, okay.
He dropped.
Then I guess it is you. Ha, ha, ha.
I'm not going to tell you no more. You're going to let you just sit there and say, Pee-wee. I thought it was great. I thought there was a lot of wonderful imagery in this. You know, the night is damp, dark, and long. Even shadows hide till dawn. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I thought that she did a nice job with that. And I thought it was intriguing how she said, then quote the raven, nevermore, nevermore. Because that's such a familiar line with all of us. But the rest of it, you know, just had a different, it had the same kind of feel, but you know what I mean. it wasn't part of, you know, and I think that she just made that into something a little different. I love that Raven, you know, travels through so many poems and just what I've seen in the last 10 years here on the site. Everybody's got a little something with a raven in it. And I like that because, you know, it's like Poe's work just keeps like dipping into everyone else's. You know, when you see it, you know what it is, you know, and I think it's great. So well done, Freckled Poet, and thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, how about you?
Yes, I did like the rhyme in this and how with the ending line, she particularly paid a tribute to Poe's The Raven. It was a wonderful brevity with strong imagery. And I like that she also brought in sound to build up the intensity and the atmosphere. I particularly liked the lines, "I turned to find no one around, yet far away an echoed scream. Oh, feet move faster, or awake this dream." Wonderful lines and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you. And you mentioned sound. That was the important note to this. It gives rise to that note of things that go bump in the night, yet there's nothing there. The imagination starts running. And that idea of nevermore, nevermore, quote the raven, hitting on that notion of, yeah, I've spent a little bit too much time here now. It's time to get up and get in. Nicely done, Freckle. Thank you. All right, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. Now, I think, Selena, are you still with us? Does it sound like she muted or fell off during the comment? Well,
she says her connection just died and she was talking to herself.
Oh. Well, I see her still here in the studio. So if she calls me, I'll definitely answer her. That's for sure. Okay. Well, I'm going to grab the next one. And Rax, I'm going to give this one to you to read. And this is by CRL7. And here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Bones, a short story by CRL 17.
All right, Julie. Just Bones, a short story by CRL 17. I was asked to give a DNA sample to the sheriff yesterday. They found a plastic bag of human bones, and they were trying to identify the remains. My brother Billy had been missing for 10 days. There was no answer on his cell phone, no break-in at his home, but his car was in the driveway, which seemed very strange. I'm back home, wiping the dust off his picture on the desk, watering the flowers in the house with my tears, afraid something bad has happened to Billy. The sheriff called and said the medical report had come back and bag of bones was Billy. I took the commuter train down to the coroner's office and retrieved my brother's bag of bones. As luck would have it, the local evening news was on TV, and they were reporting the story about Billy's death. No clue as to what had caused his demise or how his bones had been found neatly wrapped in wax paper and in a plastic bag. The investigation continues, trying to find out what happened to Billy and how he ended up as just bones in a plastic bag. They had no clues. No obvious suspects, just sort of bones in a bag. Nothing I could do now. After the funeral, I held a gathering at my house. I was Billy's sole heir. He left everything to me in his will. His insurance policy, his home, and 40 acres of land. Enough money that I could finally quit my job at the butcher shop. And boom. All right, Gene. Kick it off.
I thought it was a wonderful short story. You know, intriguing because, you know, Billy's been missing for 10 days, you know, and only because it's Halloween time do you kind of get an idea where it might go at the end. But as luck would have it, the local evening news was on TV, and they were reporting the story about Billy's death. No clue as to what had caused his demise or how his bones had been found neatly wrapped in wax paper and in plastic bags. And then, you know, you get down to the bottom and says, I could finally quit my job at the butcher shop. Great ending, great tale. I think that he really did a nice story with this from beginning to end. You know, he didn't really give it away, you know, until it got closer to the end. He just kind of had an idea because it's like a time of year. But I think that it was just nicely pulled together. And just enough. It wasn't too long. And, you know, I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I love the image that he used. The darn flower pot. A lot of people really got a kick out of that one and wrote to it. And I laughed because it was like one of the first pictures I put up. And we all know I added to that contest, like, throughout the whole the whole contest. Every day I'd go put another prompt in there, and I don't know how many people even noticed. But well done, and a great job, Chuck, and thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you. And Pam, all about you.
Yeah, this is a wonderfully dark and twisted tale. Great imagery. Love the first-person narrative. Like Phil, I really enjoyed the fact that he wrapped it up at the end with finally, like, letting you know what was happening but dropping those little hints throughout. That ending very much made me think of the movie Fried Green Tomatoes with the barbecue that they have at the end of the movie and the sheriff eating the barbecue. I thought that was really cool. And I really like the attention to detail. I'm back home wiping the dust off his picture on the desk, watering the flowers of the house with my tears, afraid something bad has happened to Billy. I really like how he gives us a character who manages to fake that grief. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much. All right, this reminds me of two things. Stephen King's Bag of Bones, but also more in line with Sweeney Todd. So I got to ask, since he's a butcher, do you have a Mrs. Lovett making them delicious meat pies, or are you just selling the reserved meat to your customers?
Yeah.
Which brings me a whole new flavor. Hey! Is your town called Cannibal Nation now, or are you just having a bit of fun? I like this. It's a little twisted, and it does beg that ride. Oh, okay. How'd your customers like the goods? All right, Gene, we're coming back to you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I don't see Selena. I don't know if she said anything in the room. Let me peek and see. Not yet. Well, I guess maybe she'll call when she can. Let's see what I have.
She said she's just going to hang on the board and not call back.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, then. I have her poem. I'm going to put that up. I was waiting for her to be here. So let me put it up. And this is The Woeful Widow by Selena. And again, I have an audio. I love those audios. Here we go.
Biting jellied steel, nestling between her creamy, silken swell. Entranced, she creeps clandestinely under his puissant spell to harvest hearts of virgin maids whilst in dreamscapes they stream. As blade slices tender flesh, castrating each silent scream. Her blackened soul belongs to him, his minion of evil is she, his captive consort. from a cosmic crypt. He will never set her free. She wanders the night, thriving on debauched demonic deeds, a pallid wild-eyed beauty, garbed in widow's weeds. A putrid pact she signed in blood, 1,000 beating hearts, from maids divested of raiments, laid on altars to rend apart. To reawaken her beloved from throes of death she endeavors, the gossamer threads twixt life and death she lustily severs. Wayward wind whispers her secrets through the mournful mist, as she yearns each moment for their true-hearted tryst, slaughtering sacrilegiously until she has paid the fee, when from his bondage of death her lover will be set free. So till the day he returns to her, and she welcomes him into her arms, till she casts off her black gown, thrilling him with her womanly charms, she will claim innocence as sacrifice, unsullied, chaste, and whole, as the parlous price she has to pay for selling her sorrowful soul.
Wonderful read there, Stelina. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, well, first of all, that was a great performance with the background sounds and music, you know, and as always, just brilliant dark imagery and metaphors. I like that this is a dark poem, and yet at the same time, it's a love poem. It's the idea of somebody willing to sell their soul in order, knowing that their love, their true love, will live on. I really like the imagery in a putrid pact she signed in blood, 1,000 beating hearts, for maids divested of raiments, laid on altars to rend apart. And then wayward wind whispers her secrets to the mournful mist, as she yearns each moment for their true-hearted tryst. That eternal longing that just will never be satisfied. So excellent dark light and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Let's try this off. I thought that this was just fabulous. The four audios we've had tonight have all been incredible and all over the top. Stelina, I think this story was fabulous. I think you did a wonderful job. It was amazing, right? And your work is so well penned and performed. Fabulous description of the woeful widow. Listen to me, widow. I just said it was excellent work, and I really enjoyed it. I think that you did a fabulous job in all the descriptions of her, whether it was her the way she handled the situation throughout, or her appearance, or you know, the thoughts. I don't know. I just think that you really didn't miss any details with this, and I think it was fabulous. And I want to thank you so much for putting this into the show for tonight. Excellent, excellent contribution. So thank you much.
Oh, absolutely. The touch, nice touch of alliteration that rolls in this. What's it? The widow's weeds. Putrid pact. I like the thought of offering up that puissant spell, and also the thought of parlous price at the back end of this we've nicely done. Some great words thrown in here, weaved in here as notes to the darkness that matches up to the music itself. The slaughtering sacrilegiously, it's a nice note. And wayward wind whispers, it's a nice mournful tone in that those three words right there. But I also that first stanza, that last line, as blade slices tender flesh, castrating each silent scream. Nice touch with that, castrating each silent scream. Boy, does that offer up such a quiet note of omnipotence in the moment, the thought of being able to take and not have a word, a sound, a sigh uttered in its back end. I like that. The gossamer threads twixt life and death she lustily severs. Again, dark, ominous, and the fact that she is married to her task at hand, taking a virgin hearts to keep herself as she is for that those last couple of lines. She will claim innocence as sacrifice, unsullied, chaste, and whole until her lover can be free from the bondage of death. So she wants to remain that pretty essence until that day returns and she once again is in the presence of her lover. Nicely done, Selena. Thank you. All right, Jean. Where back going you?
I want to say, you know, as Selena says, you know, we're also very kind about her work. But your work is wonderful, Selena. We're very blessed here in Late Night Poets to have so many performing poets that do such wonderful audios for us. You know, there's Frank and there's Selena, there's Arcana, there's Robert, and there's more because, you know, when we come across the individual audios, we're kind of like all step back a pace, like, wow, listen to that. I mean, you know, some people are singing on them, some people are reading on them. I think it's just fabulous, and I think that we're really lucky here in LNP, and I want to thank every one of you for that. You know, we don't do anything but tell the truth here. You know, wonderful, wonderful work, and you all deserve the comments and the kudos, and you know, everybody does because we. LNP tour, listen to this. Sure, Frank, we can do that.
Well, they're on tour coming next week, Frank.
But I think that it's just wonderful. I mean, they're the kind of things that make you know, make it so much fun. Actually, you know, we have good poetry, we have good audios. I mean, it's just nice. It's just really nice. And I don't think we really get the opportunity to say such things that often. And so we have it now. There you go. Pam says it sounds funny. You would think so, Pam. Mama was a Rolling Stone. That's her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every place he laid his head was his home.
I know, but I said Mama was a Rolling Stone. So we got to get it. We got to go one way or the other here, Rex. But yeah,
and every place she laid her head was her home.
Okay, see, you got the she right now. We're good. Yep. She's awful quiet though. I don't know. I don't think she's finding me very funny. Okay, Pam, just forget it. Okay, Rex, I'm going to have you read the next piece. I don't know what she's doing. She's not talking to me. So here we go, Rex, and this is by Poetry Cures My Soul.
From Poe with Sparkling Horror, by Poetry Cures My Soul. The man in the coffin woke up suddenly, not too often. Legia in her tomb, a wax cadaver melting with gloom. A mask of the red death, the village deteriorated, the prince is out of breath. The pit was dark, the pendulum swings along, no dogs bark. The usher's house is in ruin, buried alive, he thought. The grave was built in, the thumping of the heart, a huge eye staring, in prison, a new start. End poem. All right, Pam.
Nice.
What do you think?
Oh, this was great. It was a wonderful poem that did excellent use of the titles of Poe's short stories. You know, so that was very clever there. Wonderful imagery. I really like, one of my favorite Poe stories is The Mask of the Red Death, so I like that he brought that in. A Mask of the Red Death, the village deteriorated, the prince is out of breath. You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pamela. And Jean, what about you?
I thought this was a well-done piece, and I thought it was a nice tribute to Poe with the use of all the different titles. I have to agree with Pam. I thought it was nicely done. And thank you very much for sharing. Appreciate that. Poetry cures my soul. Nice work.
Thank you, ladies. I like the bitey humor that he drops in here. Where is it? A man in the coffin woke up suddenly. Not too often. And the pit was dark. The pendulum swings along. No dogs bark. Yeah, not with the pendulum swinging, they aren't. And the usher's house is in ruin, buried alive, he thought. The grave was built in. A little wry twist and turns to the thought. You've got the house of Usher. You've got the pit and the pendulum, the mask of Red Death. You've got Lygia and the telltale heart. I like the vein of thought, just adding a touch of a twisted humor to the realm it's played with. And I like that picture with the skull just peeking out the urn. Hey. I'm just a leafless tree waiting for you. Come here. All right, we're coming back to you, Jean.
Okay. Well, the next one I'm going to put up is by T. Perry, 8982. And this is called The Loser in the Flower Pot. Why did I pick on that poor little guy? And I'm going to give this one a read. Years and years and years of counting, age has sought to take its toll. In my mouth, I had a body, bore a smile, had control. In my youth, I had a body, bore my smile, had control. Found myself a secret cranny. I was hidden out of sight. Evermore, I lived the horror of the dark October night. Ring a ring, a ring a ring, a roses. Catch a loser by the tail. Find yourself a stupid hiding place and win a trip to hell. Come on, guys, I'm feeling stupid. Me, I'm trapped, there's no way out. When a person needs assistance, why is nobody about? I've been screaming for eternity and never stood a chance. I was overlooked completely by the hands of circumstance. Age can alter one's perception. Blooming flowers slowly rot. Speaks the loser in the flower pot, the one that time forgot. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, we're back to back on the flower pot.
Yeah, people really do like that flower pot. You know, I enjoyed this, first of all, as a dark tale, but it also made me think of, I used to play hide and seek with my kids all the time when I was younger, or when they were younger. I was also younger too, but not, you know. But anyways, I had this really great idea because I'm just short enough to hide in one of their toy boxes. And my son Jaron, who was about 10 at the time, came and sat in the toy box until I was pounding and screaming.
Oh my God.
And I look on his face when he opened up the toy box and saw Mom in there. Oh my gosh. It wasn't funny at the time, but it's one of those things you look back and it just cracks me up.
Did you get one in the toy box? I love it.
Exactly. But yeah, this is a great rhyming poem. I like how it's that idea of, it's almost like me thinking about the idea of trying to hide from death. And I really like that second stanza, ring a ring, a ring of roses, catch a loser by the tail, find yourself a stupid hiding place, and win a trip to hell. I like within those first two lines of that he wove together a couple of almost like the classic nursery rhyme type feel to it. I also like, I've been screaming for eternity and never stood a chance. I was overlooked completely by the hands of circumstance. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. Nice. All right, Jean, you got to read it. What about you?
You know, I liked it. It was a sad tale when you look at it from the perspective of the that one peach was. Oh my God. the room has gone out of their minds. I thought it was sad based on what he said about the skeleton, okay, in the background of that. Other than that, I think it was really, really well done. I think it was nicely rhymed, and it was a wonderful job. I think that, T. Perry, he always does such nice work. I like the intro here. Years and years and years of counting, age has sought to take its toll. In my youth, I had a body, bore a smile, had control. Found myself a secret cranny, I was hidden out of sight. Evermore, I lived the horror of that dark October night. That was a wonderful way to lead into this poem. And I think that, not to be confused with In My Mouth, you know, I mean, really, I don't know where my mind was. But it was, I don't know, I love that intro, and I think that he really did a great job with the rest of the poem. So thank you, T. Perry, as always, for sharing with us.
Absolutely. That was a nice intro, that first stanza. Then he drops in that first line, the second one, Ring Around the Rosy, Pocket Full of Posies, and then that Catch a Loser by the Tail, that note to another childhood rhyme, Catch a Tiger by the Tail. And then offering up that second stanza, People Who Do Stupid Things Win Stupid Prizes, which is why he's in the flower pot, which makes this quite the funny piece. It's humorous as hell, I liked it. Thank you, Steve. All right, Jane, we're coming back to you.
He's a singing man tonight. I don't know. All good. It's all good. Let me see. Pam, I have the next one for you. And this is
right.
Okay. Hey. Okay. Victoria is in the house.
Do I see met my sweet Candace Honey?
All right. This is Go Straight Through My Darkened Auras. Every Halloween I rest these bones so old, sitting in the backyard drinking liquid gold. In life it gave me such a rush, making my cheeks red with flush. Now even with no eyes to see, I can tell that now it goes straight through me. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And another a bite at the humorous angle of this. All right, Dean, what do you think?
I thought it was a wonderful take on that prompt. I mean, really, what could be more fitting? And I thought it was just a great brevity. I thought it was fun. I thought it was enjoyable. And I think that Darkened Auras really, really hit it. And well done. And thank you for sharing with us. Always appreciated.
Oh, absolutely. I like this is funny, but I like the bottom end of this, because if you match this up with the picture, now even with no eyes to see, I can tell that now it goes straight through me. Yes, he can actually water the plants while he's having a bit of fun. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, I thought this was great. I love that in only 46 words, she brings out the humor. She really captured the picture well. I like, though, that it's not just about death. It's really about how, as we get older, our bodies don't handle as well the things that they handled in our late teens and early 20s. So great humor and very well done.
Excellent. All right, Jane, we're coming back your way.
Let me see what I have here. Okay, Rex, I'm bringing one back for you.
We did the
one by Jane.
It was a smash. It was a graveyard smash. We all did the monster mash.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, this one is for you, Rex, by Daniel Duhem. So whenever you are ready, there we go.
All right. The Death Dealers by Daniel Duhem. Guitars screeching and moaning like a witch screaming curses descend cold chills up the spine. in a slow, methodical motion, one vertebra at a time. Death metal music that brings destruction to those who listen, because it was written by the angel of death. Cover your ears with your hands or disintegrate into dust from the vibrations sent out by the death dealers. And come. All right, start with you, please.
Whose name did you say?
You.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to say that if listening to death metal music caused you to disintegrate into a pile of dust, then I would become a pile of dust every time I washed the dishes and swept the floor, because that's usually what I'm listening to. So, no, I really enjoyed this one. I really thought it was a great tale of warning. I like the alliteration in it, especially, and the imagery, especially in the beginning stanza, guitar screeching and moaning like a witch screaming curses, then cold chills up the spine in a slow, methodical motion, one vertebrae at a time. You know, I just really thought he captured the whole idea of the vibrations of music going up and down the spine. So very cool and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean?
This was a great brevity by Daniel. In fact, I think this is the first brevity I've ever seen from Daniel. Usually he has a more in-depth piece. So it was, you know, I don't know, I just thought it was really, it was surprising to me. But it was really a good take on the prompt, and I thought that he did a wonderful job. I had to pick the first stanza of this. Guitar screeching and moaning like a witch screaming curses, to send cold chills up the spine in a slow methodical motion, one vertebrae at a time. Really, you know, it's a sin to pull anything apart, because, you know, you feel like you need the next line to make it all come together. But well done, Daniel, and thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you. I guess I got walk a little bit different between the title and the fact that he finished out the back end of the poem with the death dealers. I got to go with Underworld, because when I saw that title, the first thing I saw was Celine. The death dealer, Kate Beckinsale from Underworld, the movies, and rolls that note. That produces a nice, heavy death metal vibe, which kind of rings really true with this. So I wonder if there was also a note to Underworld that rolled within this piece itself. I like it. Thank you, Dan. All right, Jane.
Okay, gotcha. Give me 1 second. Well, maybe two, because I'm a little slow. There we go. Okay, almost.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I see you returned once again.
Yes,
these are the sounds of slurping.
Okay. Pam, I'm going to have you read the next one. And this is by Betty Page.
Okie dokie.
And let me put this over here for you. And here we go, whenever you're ready.
All right. Pirate's Rum Punch by Betty Page. Party on the beach, come drink a bottle of rum, then we'll have some fun. Dancing in the moonlight, sing a pirate's life for me, round this twisted tree. Haunting symphony, echoes mist, blackest night, goblins, dark ghouls, ghosts, frightening jet black cats, scurry from haunted houses. Let the festivities start. Down dark corridors, dancing skeletons off their ships, chasing fine ladies. Mystical gypsies wearing fine corset dresses, lush crimson, pure gold, sweetly enchanting, flirting, playing hard to get, hear bones rattling, razzmatazzing, singing old-time jazz and blues. Saints go marching in. Music played on streets while down at the Blue Bayou pirates wine and dine. Scenic atmosphere, scent of sugared bayonets, chocolate whipped cream. Everyone has fun. Green gold and violet beads, pretty girls. New Orleans parades. Crystal charms, fine masquerades. Midnight's Halloween. End poem.
Army hearties, let's grab the lasses and slash the masses.
Gregory Pam, thank you very much. Jean, how about you start us off?
You know, I have to laugh because Pam's reading this piece, and when she got down to the beads and everything, and the New Orleans parade, I'm like, I got this out of the skeleton contest. She should have had it in Thursday. Would have been that bit of humor. But I thought it was well done, Betty, and clever take on the idea. I'm not exactly sure. There's no prompt listed, so I'm not sure which one you wrote to, or if you just were having a good time, which is fine. You know, I'm in for that. Nice work, and I'm glad you shared it with us. It was a good change up for tonight. Love the humor.
Thank you, Jane. And Pam, how about you?
I thought this had wonderful imagery. It was the fun and delightful and energetic side of Halloween. I really like where she brought in the dancing and the dark corridors and the mystical gypsies. And it really was just a wonderful look at the spooky fun of a New Orleans Halloween. And the use of the word razzmatazzing was especially cool. So very well done.
Thank you, Dan. Betty gets into the punch first, then wrote this.
Well, absolutely.
Well, it does take that, I like the haunting symphony. The blackest nights, goblins, dark ghouls, ghosts, frightening black cats, the haunted house, the festivity. It's kind of that opening note to where, you get that sort of, welcome to the Addams family's house, because we got it all right. And the idea of dancing skeletons off their ships chasing fine ladies, I can see that, especially since they had the sailfish in the living room that had somebody's leg sticking out the mouth as the Last Supper. So this is a playful take, having a bit of fun. The Blue Bayou Pirates. Remember that song, The Blue Bayou? Oh, sugar beignets, yeah. Chocolate with... Oh, look at this. Sugar beignets, chocolate whipped cream. Ah, yes. And hitting on the beads. All right, Betty. Is that the... Yes. Tossing at the girl the beads because they've bared their bounty for you. Arr, 'tis a pirate's life for me. And I guess we're coming back to you, Jean.
Okie dokie, I'll let him know. He's hiding out again. Every time I come on a show, he just disappears. Okay, let's see what I have here. I'm going to read this piece by Kay Heartless. I bet you she's not heartless, though. I find that hard to believe. It's called Bear Bodkins, Tibia or Not Tibia? Tibia. Free from flesh's bloated moat, we share a humorous moment while lumbering in our plastic float. If there is no tomorrow, here rest in peace with me today, a clavicle you forevermore. I hold tight to my full inches. Fibula after fibula. We had no skull at lying. At short radius, we were shot. An unnatural way of dying. Oh my gosh. Patella, a little closer, love. Let's fuse our sacral vertebrae. In this undiscovered country, we've a femur, ours, to play. I feel so bad. I could not read it the way it should be read. Rex, I should have given this one to you. I think you.
I like it. It's
better.
Funny as hell. Using
I just Yeah, I was just messing up the pronunciations of what I was trying to do. Ah, I'm sad.
She drugged this out. I thought that the angle of you. If there is no tomorrow, dear, nice touch there. Hold up tight to my phalanges. At short radius. Nice touch there. And the all-natural way of dying. Oh, my God. This is funny. And I like the back end of this, too. Let's fuse our sacral vertebrae. A great play on boning.
Oh my God, I love that.
Now this brings that phrase to life. Yes, we are bad to the bone. All right, Pam, what do you think?
This was definitely clever and fun. Great humor from the very start and all the way through. I love the wordplay with the bones, tibia or not tibia. And that stanza you quoted, Rex, was great. I also like patella, a little closer love. Let's fuse our sacral vertebrae. I don't know, just the way she used all the different bones and to play with the words and to have fun. It was just awesome. So very well done.
Excellent. I missed out on something. There's music in this too. Tibia or not tibia, or not tibia, to be or not to be. If there is no tomorrow, it hits me up with a song of Free Bird. Fibula after fibula, time after time. Patella a little closer, love. Get a little closer. So there's a bit of musicality in this too. So it works on a few levels. I like it. All right, Gene, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh, man. I love this piece. I love the humor in it. I think she did a fabulous job. And I feel so mad at myself because I just couldn't ace the delivery of it. But otherwise, everybody, I urge you all to go and read it yourself, to look it up and check it out. And when you look at it, you'll know exactly where she was going because, I just didn't read it the way I felt it should be read. So wonderful job, Kay Heartless. And, hey, thank you so much for entering the contest. Great job. Great bit of humor to it. I like that. Wow. Too funny. Loved it. Okay. So are we done now? Because I have two pieces left. Can we do it?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm coming to you with this one. This piece is by S.V. Masterson called Skeletal Branches.
Is this for me?
Uh-oh.
Or Pam?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
No, for you, Rex.
Yeah. Skeletal Branches by S.V. Masterson. Maybe it is just the wind turning the next card over, start again. Red queen on a black king. Someone behind me moves or something. Maybe just a black cat. Where it came from, I dare not ask. Trying to concentrate on the cards again. A silhouette edged on a drawn curtain once in. Skeletal branches of the trees sway in windless night. A scraping sound at my teeth. A visitor, I fear. What vision does it possess tonight? Locked inside my room, dawn will not come too soon. And poem. All right, Pam, what you think?
I enjoyed this one. I like how it brings in the idea of how the shadows and the sounds that you hear at night trigger your imagination and everything becomes spookier. I like that immediately he opens up with the idea of thinking about what is this noise. Maybe it is just the wind turning the next card over, start again. And I really like where also he says, trying to concentrate on the cards again, a silhouette etched on a drawn curtain once in. The whole idea of trying to focus on something while all around you, there's these creepy and spooky noises. So excellent brevity and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gene, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful poem by S.V. A great brevity with fabulous imagery, and I thought it was very well done. Really enjoyed it. I didn't realize it was another brevity. It's a great job. I'm not sure what the prompt was, but I liked the poem for what it was. You know, great poem. So thank you for sharing.
Oh, absolutely. I think that picture offers up the notion itself. Dark, cold nights. You got the candle in the window. Probably got a fire going. And the thought of Red Queen or Black King. He's playing solitaire. Maybe just a black cat, mm-hmm. where it came from. I dare not ask. When you're sitting alone in the cool of the evening with a warm fire, and things just start scratching at the recesses of your mind, like the branches on the window, the wind howling through the tree itself. All of a sudden, the mind starts playing tricks, and everything seems to come alive. Even the spitting fire offers up a notion of, ooh, what the hell was that? And that scraping sound at my feet, a visit, I fear, that kind of gives you the idea. He's walking, and there's something tacked to the back of his slipper, so to speak, so it scrapes on the floor, and you look around, but there's nothing there, not realizing it's on your foot. I like that. All right, Gene, where's that? Okay, you.
Awesome. Awesome comments. Let me see now. Pam, I have the last one for you. This is the last one.
Ah, right.
Here we go. It's by Amethyst Moonjade. It's called Flamingo Race.
Flamingo Race by Amethyst Moonjade. It was a festive day for the community of Skeleton. It was Halloween Eve, and they were gathered at the square. The mayor, Mr. Bones, opened the gala for games. They played hide the thigh bone. There was clacking contest, and the highlight of the gala was the flamingo racing. Bets were placed on who would win. The riders mounted their skittish mounts, waiting the mayor's command to go. Mayor Bones dropped his arms, and the flamingos took off. In the lead was Uma, and his flamingo was fast, but coming up on the outside was Tarsus on his flamingo. The rest of the pack was closing in. Humorous lost his footing and was hanging on to the neck of his flamingo. Somehow he managed to move into second place, racing just beside Uma. They were neck and neck as they crossed the finish line. It was Uma who won by a beak. The riders all celebrated Uma's win. It was a grand finish to a wonderful day. Mayor Bones passed out ribbons and winner's cup to those who had placed in the games. Tomorrow was Halloween, and they would be back to work scaring humans. But today was a wonderful day just for them. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And another humorous bite at that picture itself, something a little different. I like the angle played of, hey, it's the day before Halloween. We got to have some fun, too. So they're all out for a day at the races, so to speak. I like that thought. But also that sly interlocked note in that second stanza. They played hide the thigh bone. Nice touch with that one. It offers up a little twisted bit of bony humor. I like it. And in fact, humorous lost his footing and was hanging onto the neck of his flamingo. Somehow he managed to move into second place, racing just beside Ulna. Again, the play with bones. Nice touch. All right, Gene, what do you think?
You know, I thought this was a great nonsensical poem. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I love the use of the bones throughout again. The picture, the image itself, I mean, let's face it, skeletons riding flamingos in the front yard. Too good. Too good. And it made me laugh, and this poem makes me laugh. And I think she really definitely has captured the prompt and done a fine job with that. So thank you so much for giving us this poem, Amethyst Moonjade. I appreciate that. Wonderful, wonderful piece. Enjoyed it.
And Pam, how about you? You got to read it.
Oh, this was great fun. It made me laugh and smile. And, you know, I really like that she wrote to that picture and the way she just had fun and played with the words, especially the bones, with the names like Mayor Bone and Humorous lost his footing and was hanging on to the neck of his flamingo. Somehow he managed to move into second place. Absolutely delightful and very well done.
Absolutely.
Well, it's back to you, Jean, for the closing notes of tonight.
Well, I thank you guys for hanging out with me all night tonight. And Pee-wee, thanks for calling in. And Stelina, I wish it would have worked out better, but it was good to have you here for a minute or two. I think that we just we had a lot of good poetry tonight, and it was a lot of fun. And, yeah, I enjoyed it very much. I hope you guys had a great time, too. We accomplished it. We cleared the entire board. The only piece that's left on there was something that Stelina put up for me to move over tomorrow. And great job. Just a great job, and it's been a fun week. And can't wait to see what tomorrow brings for us all. And definitely we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you, Rex, as always, for hosting or co-hosting with me. And Pam, thank you for your support. As always, you're wonderful. You really keep me out of trouble. you're my memory. Okay, thank you guys very much, and I hope you all have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Tune in for a Phasia. Yes, absolutely. Good night, and take care. And, yep, tomorrow. That's where we'll all meet again. Good night.
Bye, guys.